That was 2 minutes, Judge. I was intentionally silent for 2 minutes. And what I was doing just now was that I was watching your reaction. And I could see that some of you are very uncomfortable. You started to feel restless. And some of you, thoughts may be running in your mind. What is happening to him? Let me suggest to you that the reason you feel uncomfortable is because this is not the norm. Because every time the speaker steps up here, he takes on the mic and he will speak nonstop. But what I did today was something different. I was just silent for 2 minutes. And it was not a norm for all of us. We all expected a norm to take place. But it didn't. So church, today I want to talk to you about a topic called being the people of God. Can we have the projector on? Being the people of God. We are resuming our SRM studies. We are on section 4, part 1. Section 4, part 1, the title is The People of God. But I add that word being in front. Right, and make it to be the topic of my sermon today. You know, church, being the people of God is not our norm. In another words, I'm saying that we are not acquainted to God's ways. We are not used to God's ways because we have been living for a long time with our old nature. For some of us, maybe longer, some of us maybe shorter, but all of us were the same. We had the same starting point. We had our old nature. And God called each of us out from being the people of the world to become His people. To become part of God's family. That is what it means to become a people of God. That is what it means to become a Christian. And all of us struggle to be God's people if we are honest with ourselves. Because to be God's people is to be a different kind of people. And it has a different set of requirements for us to meet to become God's people. And the Bible tells us in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh desire what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. We struggle. We struggle to become the people of God. We feel far from comfortable to be God's people. There's always a conflict. There's always a battle that is happening inside us. And something inside us always wants to direct us into a different direction. Even though God calls us to this direction, but something inside us is working against that. Do you experience that? No. So the question is, how do we live as God's people? How do we know how to live? We were once people who are alienated from God. We were once not God's people. And God has called us now to become His people. And a fair question to ask is that, how to live? Have you ever asked this most fundamental question? How do I live? In the Bible, in the book of Judges, it says that everyone at that time did what they saw fit. Bo cheng hu, no law, you know. Whatever that comes to their mind, they just do it. Whatever they think it is right, they just do it. They did whatever they saw fit. At what point in your life have you come to ask yourself this question? How do I live? In particularly, how do I live as the people of God? Church, if we never ask this question, it is very likely that we are going through life in the motion. And we just slide on. We just do whatever that we think is right and whatever that pleases us. But to become the people of God, we have to pause and ask the question, how do we live as people of God? And I'm speaking to you as a fellow, what's the word for it? As a sojourner, right? We are journeying life together, right? And I would say I'm no better than anyone here, just because I stand here on the platform and speak. And I struggle in my life. And I remember that in my struggle to discover who I am, God sent me a very, very important person. And at that time, I was working in Singapore. Right? I travel to Singapore on Monday, and I come back on Friday. So it was very difficult for my family at that time. My youngest daughter was already born. My oldest. Yeah, Ashley was already born. But I had to travel between Singapore and Malaysia every week, almost. Yeah. But during that time, God sent me a person, okay, a mentor. His name is Jeff Gossage. He kind of like, we talk to each other and we click. He kind of took me under his wings and said, Elvin, I want to meet with you once a week, you know, just to chat and pray together and talk about life. I've been doing that for quite a number of years with him when I was traveling to Singapore. And I still miss that time when I had with Jeff. Even though every time when I meet with him, he made me feel very uncomfortable. Because he asked me questions that really pricked my heart. As I look back, I thank God for Jeff. Because he taught me how to be a man. And more specifically, how to be a man that pleases God. I remember on one occasion in my conversation with Jeff, and he speaks very bluntly, right? No sugarcoating. And he will say, Elvin, I know that you have the male organ, but how do you be a man? Just like that, huh? He speaks like that. I was like, what? How do I be a man? And that was how my journey with him began. And he began to mentor me. He began to ask me very difficult questions. even questions that like, how many times do you make out with your wife? You know, we Asians are very shy when we talk about these things, you know. But now I look back and I understand why he asked me that question. Because it is so important for the family. Because it is so important for me to keep my purity with God. Tough questions. Tough questions on how to live. Have you ever come to a point in your life where you pause and you ask, how do I live? Forget about going through the motions of life. Yeah, I know we have to go to school. I know we have to work, even though we don't feel like it. But have you ever paused at any juncture and asked, how do I live? You know, the Bible has a lot to teach us about that. The Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, the Bible tells us somewhere in Numbers, I think it says that there were about over 600,000 people at that time, not including the children and the women. But there are about 600,000 over people. The whole nation came out from Egypt and in the wilderness. You know, when you have a population of that many, you know, like more than a million people probably, you need something to govern, you know, the society so that you can maintain peace. You know, if just me and my wife, it doesn't matter. We don't need a law, you see. How many of you in your family have a written law, a constitution? You don't have, right? But if you have a nation, a country, or a church of 200 people, you may need a constitution. You may need policies, right? So God gave Israel the law to govern that nation. And God gave them the law with a purpose so that the Israel will be able to differentiate themselves between them and others. They will become a special nation. As they obey the law that God gave them, they will become a light to the Gentiles. So that was the purpose of God for them. The law showed them how to live. You know, the Bible has a lot of instructions. And right now I'm overseeing the young adults. Right? One of the struggles they have is study the Bible. Oh, so many things to study. Where to start? Yeah, very hard to study the Bible. Huh? And the good news is that I also find it very hard to study. Yeah, so we learn together. Yeah, we learn together. And the Bible is not short of instructions, you know. From the beginning in Genesis, even the law was not given at that time to the Israelites yet. Okay, the nation was not even born yet. God already gave instructions. There were laws at Eden. And God taught Adam how to be a human being. He said, you tend the garden. You must be fruitful and multiply. And God gave him a job to name the animals. And God also gave him very specific instruction and say, Adam, you can eat from all the trees in the garden except this tree you shall not touch. There were instructions and laws given even as early as the creation. And then to Abraham, right? The patriarchs, if you study, you know, Genesis, you will see that God also gave instructions beyond Adam, right, to Abraham. Like, for example, this verse, this chapter in Genesis 26, verse 5, it says, "Because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands and my decrees and my instructions." So Abraham, during his time, knew exactly what he was supposed to do because God gave him laws, God gave him instructions to obey. And then you have the law of Moses. Okay, that one is more comprehensive. There are over 600 instructions and commands in the law of Moses. And it covers moral, social, and ceremonial. And some of them don't apply to us. Like the ceremonial law, right? We don't kill animals today. Yeah. But nevertheless, there were over 600 instructions. Not short of it. And we often hear that good news, the New Testament, there are no more laws. Actually, it's not true. In the New Testament, there are more commandments than the Old Testament. If you count, there are actually more than 1,000 instructions in the New Testament. So there are so many laws and instructions given in the Word of God to teach us how to live. How do we cope with this? Even remembering it now is a problem, right? Let alone obeying. You know, in general, right? Even the Ten Commandments, statistics has shown that most people only can remember 4 to 6. How about you have 1,000 commandments? How are you going to remember that? How are you going to remember? Good question. But you look at this. This is a toy that I bought myself, you know, to make myself feel happy. So I bought myself this toy. Everyone is laughing, you know. So this is an espresso machine, yeah. So I bought this toy for myself, and also happy. I opened this gift of mine, and I took it out, and I look at the manual. Woo, so thick, you know. And I was never trained as a barista. No, I don't know how to operate this machine. I look at the manual. I never even started to read the first page. You know, I begin to try on it already. And lo and behold, what happened next day? And I went to work, and then I saw an SMS from my wife with a picture that the whole table was full of water. Failing to follow instructions. Never read manual. You know, I'm that kind of person. I do not know how many of you, when you buy a new iPhone or what, you read the manual, right? You don't straight away put the SIM card and turn on. Right, all of you do that, right? You read the manual, 360 pages, right? No, you don't say no. So, likewise, right? I think it takes us a while to be able to get acquainted with the Word of God. Right? It's hard for us to remember every command, but bear in mind that the laws given to us by God, they are good. They are not bad. You know, they are not our enemy. The law is there to guide us. The law is there to protect us. If you don't follow the law, there is a likelihood that we will get harmed. Right? We don't have time to go into that because the law tells us what is right from wrong. In fact, the New Testament, Paul says that without the law, we do not even know what sin is. Right? The law tells us that these are sin, these are things that are wrong. Therefore, we know. So it's difficult, right? So many things that, you know, become God's people, you have to learn all this. So it's not possible. But our Savior, our Lord, gave us a very, very brilliant answer. One day he was having a conversation with the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, right? And they were trying to test Jesus. There are so many laws. Can you tell me which one is the greatest? And this is what Jesus answered. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. For that, sum up the whole law. The whole law, thousands of them, is summed up to just two things. And Jesus said it is to love God and to love people. Precise, concise, but not so easy. How many of you think loving people is easy? People say that people starts with P. Problem also starts with P. We all find it challenging, right? To love people. Because they are not like me. You know? They are different from me. And why are they not like me? Can you find a person in your life, that your friend or whoever, that you can see that this person really loves God and loves people? Yeah. I'm sure in your life you will come across people who epitomize that. People who practice that, they really love God and they love people. And one of the people that I really admire in the Bible, and I studied about his story more, I would say more than other heroes in the Old Testament, and his name is David. Yeah, David. I think David is an exceptional guy. Not that he has no sin. We all know that David, the sin that he committed, actually more gross than any of the sins that we have committed here. If we committed the sin that he had committed, we would already be in jail. Right? But yet, David, the Bible says that he was recognized as someone who is after God's own heart. David is a man after God's own heart. Have you ever asked why, David, someone like that? And I believe there are two things. Because David really loved God. You know, one of the things that came to his mind when he sinned against God, he prayed in Psalm 51. He says, God, please do not take the Holy Spirit from me. when he sinned against God, he did not defend his pride or anything. But David said, God, please do not take your presence from me. An exceptional guy. And when the Bible says, love God and love your neighbor as yourself, it's not talking about loving the neighbor that is staying next to you. It's talking about loving your enemies as well. You know, when David was at the height of his popularity, he won so many battles. He fought and he won because the favor of God was on his life. And at the height of his popularity, he said this to his servant. He said, is there anyone in Saul's household that I can show kindness to? Wow! David, at the height of his popularity, he was not preoccupied with his victories, but he was thinking about his enemy's household. What would you do to someone who wants to kill you? David could have killed everybody in the household if he wanted to. He was the king. But at the height of his popularity, he said this. He said, is there anyone in the household of Saul that I can show kindness to? And his servant, Zika. I got confused. Zika is the virus. Yeah. Ziba, right? The servant's name is Ziba. Ziba. Yeah, Ziba. He told his servant Ziba, and Ziba said, yes, there is someone by the name of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is the grandson of Saul, and he was lame on both legs. And Saul went and see him. And brought him back into his palace and made him to sit in his table and dine with one of his sons. And not just that, he restored the fortune and everything that is needed for him to provide for him. David gave him everything. Possessions, land, and not only that, he asked his servant to make sure you tend the land, you know, the land, make sure it's able to provide for Mephibosheth. What an exceptional kindness. Church, I think that really sets apart David from many other people. Because David truly loved God. And he loved people. And even his enemies. I want to share with you a real story. And this is one of the Sanghatis. Sanghati is a Nepali church. Yeah, this church have a ministry reaching out to the migrant workers in the city. And this one is one of the outreaches that we have that is located in the Butterworth site. Right? The area is called Taman Pelangi. Yeah, and this is their church. Right? It's all the church members. And the leader there is Akendra. Akendra is the right. Okay, this is the guy. His name is Akendra. He is the lay leader in that group. And he found Jesus Christ here in Penang. Right? And he and together with our friend Roshan Gurung, yeah, were the leaders in Taman Pelangi. Yeah. In fact, it was Roshan who led him to Christ. And then now, when Roshan returned back to Nepal, he is the leader of Taman Pelangi. Right? So he is now the pastor of that church there. And he has a full-time job. He works as a waiter in Seoul Garden in Auto City. Right? And Akendra has brought Taman Magar, okay, the guy, okay, second from the left. He has brought him to Christ while he was here. Right? And they both work in Seoul Garden. And I want to share with you about these two very special people, of how they have lived their life to show that they are people of God, to differentiate themselves from others. And through their lives, they have brought the boss of Seoul Garden to Christ. And not just bringing the boss of Seoul Garden to Christ, but the boss has decided to give all Christians off on Sunday. And you run a restaurant, you know. On Sunday is your busiest day, yeah. But because of their testimony, because of them believing in Jesus and doing what He says, loving God and loving people, they have led people to Jesus. And when they started this Sangati, there were only three people. At the height of the Sangati, there were about 40 people worshipping in that place. And Akendra is truly a servant of God. Do you know that that place is not funded? We never put in a single cent to rent the place for them. They run it themselves. And this is what Akendra said. Pastor, we're going to rent this place. And if the church cannot pay, the church means the people, right? The foreign workers cannot pay, I will top up. The rent is 400 ringgit a month. I admire this person. And in fact, this is just one story. And there are many stories that I can share with you. That they come here, they found Jesus, they sacrifice, and God worked through them. This is an example, church, of when we truly become God's people, we will change the world. Do you know this verse in Romans chapter 8? It says, for creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. You know, we live in a terrible world where we see unkindness every day. We see problems, we see bad people. I was just in KLIA last week and I was sitting at the restaurant there. And there was this waiter who is maybe 21 years old or younger, a Malay waiter. He went to the table and he cleared some food on the table, right? And there was a phone charger on top of the table. And then this man suddenly came in and then started to scold him in public, you know. And it was so nasty. That man said, do you know who I am? I'm Datuk so-and-so, you know. Why are you doing this? Why are you so stupid? Didn't you see that my charger was on the table. It should tell you that I haven't finished my food. Why did you clear it? That young man was like so shocked that felt like he was about to cry. I felt so pity for him, you know. And at the same time, I also didn't have the guts, you know. I was so shocked, I didn't know what to do, you know. I could have just flamed him and then just viral it. But I was so shocked, you know. Then after that, I just felt so bad for him, you know. I keep looking at him and he was so down and he was walking around and he was so down. And I keep looking at him and he said, God, I have to do something, you know. So I walk up to him and I say, yeah, I was there and, you know, I feel very bad. You know, I feel very sad for you, you know. I say, please don't take it to heart, you know. And I felt that those words, you know, comforted him, you know, even though it's just a very simple word, you know. For him, it's somebody sympathizes with him, you know. So the world is terrible. But God wants us to rise up. We must be God's people. When we become God's people, when we live according to what God has called us, we will shine in this world of darkness. So, in closing, I just want to suggest to us two very simple things. Yeah, no, we still read the Bible, yeah? Read the Bible. But just remember two things that we can do, yeah? To love God, practical things, right? To love God is to have a relationship with God, right? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? You know, it's so fun, so enjoyable to have a relationship with God. You know, many times when I feel down and I feel tired, bombarded with so many things, you know, I feel downcast, I will know that there is always God that is waiting for me. That I can very easily go to Him and just spend time with Him alone and just to enjoy Him. And when we do that, we get rejuvenated. We get refreshed. We get strengthened. You know that is available for us. We can spend time with God. It's easy to do. Yet a lot of times we forget because we are just so caught up with the activities of the world. Our love will grow as you begin to spend time with God. The Holy Spirit will fill our hearts with love for Him. Have a loving relationship with people. You see, there's a difference, love relationship and loving relationship. Yeah. Love relationship I can only have with my wife. But we need to have a loving relationship with people. Not just people, but even our enemies. And one very simple thing that I want to suggest we can do is have no bitterness in our hearts. To me, I feel that is the starting point. Church, we will have conflicts. We will have conflicts with people. Unless you live by yourself in an island where there's only yourself. If you live with people, there are conflicts. But we have to be careful that we do not bear grudges. we do not have bitterness. We do not allow the grudge to fester and become a bitterness in our hearts. That is the beginning of our destruction. It is so serious. So important for us to learn this lesson. So church, I just want to leave this with you. And I know this is a very simple message. Yeah, nothing fancy. But there is a deep truth in it. That we are called by God to love Him. Have a love relationship with God. And also to love people. To love even our enemies. And let us start by be watchful of not having any bitterness, allowing it to grow in our heart towards anybody. I just want to end with this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Really, this time end already. Yeah? Okay. You know, I was having fellowship with the young adults, leaders, and we were talking about loving people, and one of them asked me the question, hey, Pastor, how do you love people? You know? So the reason asked like that is because people are hard to love, some people. All right. So this is something that I learned from somebody I forgot. Maybe here also, right? One of the speakers said this, yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So, it suggests, you know, ways that we can love people. How can we, you know, relate to people well, right? So, what you can do is, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13, right? You bring your Bible. Okay, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. First Corinthians 13 says that, you know, if you have this gifting, that gifting, right, is nothing, right? But if you do not love, then you are nothing, right? And then in verse 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind. Okay. So how do we relate to people? By filling in your name to replace the word love or it, okay? Like, for example, John is patient. John is kind. John does not envy. John does not boast. John is not proud. John does not dishonor others. John is not self-seeking. John is not easily angered. John keeps no record of wrongs. You know, it is really a good practice. Every now and then when you are angry with somebody or you have a problem with somebody, you know, it's always good to come back to here and replace your name here with love. And just let the Holy Spirit just wash over you. Because the Word of God is so powerful. That if we allow the Word of God to work in our hearts, it will change us over time. And you will be amazed that after doing this exercise over and over again, you will find that one day, truly, I am able to love people better. And I grow in my love for people. Thank you very much, and God bless you. Shall we just maybe just sing a closing song and just give praise to God, right? And ask the Holy Spirit to help us, right? Even though the message is very simple today, help us, Lord. We want to love you more. We want to learn how to relate to people better. Yeah. And by doing that, God, we know that we become We are being the people of God. Yeah. Shall we stand? Where's my wife? Huh?
Oh, church. I want to pray for you. I just want you to receive these words right from the Bible into your hearts as I read it over you, as I pray over you. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. And all of God's people say, Amen. God bless you. Have a good week ahead. Thank you very much for joining us today. God bless you.